Now, this week it is NAIDOC week, and I'd like to say good morning to Professor Rob Amery. How are you, Professor?
Baniwata, morning.
Good morning. You've given us a hint of exactly what your expertise is, but you're Head of Linguistics from the University of Adelaide, and you're looking at our Indigenous languages.
Yes, well, it's the theme of NAIDOC week this week, Our Languages Matter. And, of course, these are our national heritage. These are our national treasures. There were more than 250 languages, as linguists count them. As Indigenous people count them, we're looking at 600 to 800 or more. And once these languages are gone, they're gone forever. Each language is a storehouse of knowledge. They give us a particular way of encoding the world, a particular worldview. And each one is unique.
Well,
we don't know what's there until we go and look.
So how unique are they? When you talk about 600 languages in a country this size, how much uniqueness is there?
Well, many of those are dialects. If we talk about languages as being not mutually intelligible, we're looking at 250 to 300 perhaps.
Okay, hang on. So difference between languages and dialect?
Well, the standard linguistic definition is that if two varieties are mutually intelligible, then they're dialects of one language.
Right.
However, it gets political. And if we think of Europe, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, one language from a linguistic point of view. Croatian, Bosnian, Serbian, one language from a linguistic point of view, or Hindi, Urdu. But try telling speakers of those languages that they speak a dialect of the same language. Well, you won't be too popular. And it's the same if we go to Northeast Arnhem Land. You know, we've got about 40 or 50 clan languages. Linguists, we might count them as six, because a lot of those are mutually intelligible. But for Yolngu, they don't like the word dialect. You know, each of those clan languages, they call them, yeah, has ceremony, has song, has land, has people associated with them. They're different political entities.
How do you start by finding out more information about these languages?
Well, go to the online catalogue at IATSIS is a good place to start. Or Ethnologue. Ethnologue has a catalogue of the world's languages. But look locally, I guess, is the best place to look. Of these many, many languages, Australia has about the worst record in language loss. Only 13 of those at last count are being acquired through natural means by children. And, well, there's over 100 that are still spoken fluently, but many, many of those languages are spoken by one or two or just a handful or an older generation.
Why is that? Is it because of the social upheaval that our Indigenous peoples have been through?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pressure of English and in the Barkly Tablelands, Kimberley, Torres Straits, there's been wholesale shift to Creole, which is kind of an amalgam between English with some Indigenous language input, Indigenous language grammar.
What are some of the words that you've learnt, learning about Indigenous language that you love and you appreciate?
Oh, some from the Kaurna language. Oh, well, there's Mikuamati, which is may the crows pick out your eyes.
That didn't sound like that was going. I thought you might have been saying hello, but no, okay.
And of course, we've got a Crows football team here and it's ready-made.
You might want to say it again. So hang on, all right. Power supporters, get your pen and paper out now. Ready? What is it?
Mikuamati. Okay. May the crows pick out your eyes.
Gosh.
So then we develop one for the opposition as well. Right? Kandukundana, let lightning strike.
I love it. Are there more non-Indigenous people learning Kaurna words, you know, for example, through hearing acknowledgement to country and then doing their own research and finding their own way, than there are Indigenous people taking on the language?
Well, when we look at the statistics of Indigenous languages taught in schools, then, yes, the majority of learners are non-Indigenous students. There's still lots of Indigenous students there. But, yeah, there is very strong interest from the non-Indigenous population, which is growing and growing, and that's a terrific thing. here in Adelaide, well, if we look at it, more than 80% of the population of South Australia lives in Kaurna country. And there are many, many schools across the metropolitan Adelaide area who are looking for teachers of Kaurna. And sadly, we can't supply them.
Mm.
We've got Taylor Powell-Smith, who's teaching at Gillies Street Primary School and teaching at Challa Gardens. There's a couple of other schools teaching Kaurna, but we just need to work on that front, training people to be in a position to have knowledge of their language for a start and to have knowledge of how to teach it.
Is it a hard language to learn, Kaurna language?
Not especially. Every language is difficult.
Mm.
You know, you have to invest a lot of time and effort. I guess what makes it very difficult to learn Aboriginal languages is that you can't just turn on the radio or turn on the television or go to the newsagents and buy a newspaper or, you know, find a book in a bookshop to read or hear it spoken around Adelaide. Of course, if you go to Arnhem Land and Central Australia and live in those communities, you can hear it every day, all day mm. long. But in the situation we're here in Adelaide, well, it's only every now and then, yeah. A speech of welcome or acknowledgement or, you know, go to a language class or very limited opportunities. And that's what makes it very difficult.
Well, as part of that, the ABC has set about an initiative which is asking school students to sing a song in the traditional language of the area. And then they are encouraging schools to work with their local Indigenous community to translate the song. Is it Marangamu?
Yeah.
Into the first language of the area, and then we want you to record students singing it. Can you tell me much about that song at all? Have you heard of Marangamu?
Well, you just reminded me. No, I haven't got much familiarity with it, but I gather it's eyes, ears, three times, right?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, can you
help
us?
Do you know the tune?
I don't know the tune. I'm as up in the air as you are.
Well, I can tell you what it'll translate
to. Okay, let's do that. All right.
Well, it'll be Mina Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
Mina Yuri, Mina Yuri.
Okay, so that's eyes and ears.
Yep.
All right, the next one is hand and foot.
Mara Tidna. Mara Tidna, Mara Tidna.
Mm-hmm.
Yarku Tuti. So this is leg, arm.
And what about head and belly?
Mukara Mundu.
It's just beautiful listening to you say that. It's lovely.
Now, you know, you've got to be very careful with that Mundu word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's a minimal pair here between Mundu and Mundu. And Mundu is a very rude word, so.
Is it? Right, we won't say that again. Katjana is saying, look, I was lucky to study Kaurna at the Living Cultural Centre with Jack Buckskin for 3 years, and I'm surprised how much I can still remember.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Jack Buckskin is well known for being a proponent of this and trying to get more people to learn it. The Living Cultural Centre, what do you know about that?
The Living Kaurna Cultural Centre is down at Wadiparinga.
Mm-hmm.
Owned and run by Marion Council. Now, Wadiparinga is a particularly important site for Kaurna people. This was where Kulalturi was killed, and the Kaurna ancestor Chilbrookie collected his body, wrapped it in paper bark, carried it down the coast, and everywhere he stopped and wept, a mourning for his nephew, we find a freshwater spring. And so this dreaming is kind of a map of where to go for water, to camp. Yeah.
It's 10:43 and our Monday expert today is Dr. Rob Amery, who's Head of Linguistics from the University of Adelaide. And we're talking about Indigenous languages for NAIDOC Week and also the Kaurna language specifically there. In fact, Hans wants to know, why is the word Kaurna not spelled phonetically? He says it's just so different to the way it looks on paper.
Well, gee, this is a complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
Kaurna is not Kaurna. The Kaurna people really should be Miuna. And it was Norman Tyndale at the South Australian Museum early in the 20th century who made the error.
Really?
The word Kaurna does not appear in the early sources, Teichelman and Sherman. The earliest it appears is 1879, and then, well, with the current spelling.
And that then, spelling is K-A-U-R-N-A.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it was given for and Counter Bay Bob's tribe. And that was right alongside Meena, Onkapringa Jack's tribe. Now, Onkapringa Jack was King John, Mulawiraburga. He was one of the three main elders that the colonists, colonial authorities dealt with. And obviously, when it was put alongside Meena, Kaurna, Onkapringa Jack's tribe and Counter Bay Bob's tribe, well, we're talking about a different people.
Mm.
It's in contrast to Meena. And it's obviously from Kaurnaar, which is the Wurundjeri Ngarrindjeri word for people. And so it's the neighbours from the neighbours language. This happens very often around the world.
Well, when you showed just the difference between one word, there you can understand how that emphasis and the change could make mistakes happen.
Yeah. It's just a mistake in history.
Wow, what a mistake to make. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm just out of curiosity more than anything else. Are there many books available dual language? Because I know the Bible was at one stage. But, yeah, so the English on one side, Aboriginal on the other.
So many books with both languages, English and Kaurna.
Or any Aboriginal language.
Dr. Amory, do you know?
Well, there are lots of dictionaries that have been produced in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some very, very good dictionaries. Most Aboriginal languages now have at least some kind of dictionary that support them, of varying quality. We've still got a big dictionary in progress for the Kaurna language. We have a substantial word list, but it's still a work in progress. So dictionaries are never finished. The English dictionary is never finished.
Yeah. Emma on Hindmarsh Island says, look, I still remember the song Chilbrookie, the Ibis Man. We learnt that at school. I study linguistics now, and it's a shame to see the decline of teaching of these languages. Do you feel that shame as well?
Look, absolutely. In some ways, things were much further progressed back in the 1990s, even though we had far less material to work with.
Hmm.
Now we've got, we've got songbooks, we've got a lot of things on YouTube. But somehow the teaching of the language has regressed, which is very sad. And that's something we've got to work on and crank up again.
Hmm. Well, look, as I said, there is this competition and it's an opportunity to also let people know about Indigenous language. So you can actually, for more information, get to our website, which is abc.net.au/Adelaide. You'll be able to find it there. What we're trying to get is schools to work with their local Indigenous communities and translate the song Marungamu. You can then upload your recording, and the two winning entrants will actually get recording equipment for their school or a language resource package designed by First Languages Australia. You've got till the middle of August, so don't stress about it. It's not like the homework's due tomorrow at 3 o'clock.